Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the iPhone Photo Show podcast. I'm Jefferson Graham. Got a very special guest with me today, Rick Salmon. He's an amazing photographer. He has authored over 40 books. He is, I think he's had over 40 classes on Kelby1.com. And before I even let him say a word, I have to first say that today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at SmugMug. I use SmugMug instead of iCloud for auto backup of all my photos via the iOS app. It has better terms and prices than Apple, Google, or Amazon. And I can also sell prints and show off my portfolio in the way I want it to be seen. SmugMug has a free 2-week trial, so give them a try at SmugMug.com. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I am doing great. Really glad to be here. I love watching all your stuff, all your photo walks. You're the iPhone guy. I'm the iPhone guy, too. This is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. So Rick just came back from Morocco, and he shot with nothing but an iPhone. And I just came back from Japan, where I shot with nothing but an iPhone. So we're going to talk about that. Before we do that, we're going to open up with a little news segment. So we'll begin with, number one, Apple's iPhone Control Center is rumored to become more useful in iOS 17, which I think is something we would all like, but no specifics. I use Control Center every day to make screen recordings, and that's about it. You can open the camera there, but why bother? The other things I can do in settings like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Now, how about you? Any thoughts on Control Center?
No. Just my only thought on the iPhone is I'm going to Antarctica and Tanzania later this year, and I hope that the 15 comes out. Because if it has the 10X periscope lens, that's the only camera I'm going to take, in addition to my camera here. Okay. Believe it or not. I mean, it's that good. And also in these places, the animals come pretty close. So with the 10X, it would be amazing.
I used the Galaxy 10X in Japan because I wanted to get used to the Galaxy as well. It's big. It's the difference between 77 millimeter and 200 millimeter. So it's really nice thing.
I know.
Yeah. So I look forward to that. My prediction is September 25th for the release of the iPhone 15. Speaking of the iPhone 15, Apple is set to introduce iOS 17 at WWDC in June, the Worldwide Developers Conference, where the company is expected to finally introduce a $3,000 augmented reality headset, which may or may not have photographic functions. I wasn't sold on Google Glass, Snapchat spectacles, or any other AR headset to date, because I don't think people want to go around town wearing such things. So no. Call me skeptical. What are your thoughts, Rick?
I'll call this a spectacle. Of course, they're spectacles. Yeah, I remember Trey Ratcliffe. You know Trey, right?
Yeah.
He was talking about that, and that was a bit like the next big thing. But I wear glasses. I'm not ready for that. I am definitely not ready for that. I mean, I'm loving my iPhone. I love the portability of it. I love the compactness. I love not carrying a big bag around. I mean, it's just so small. For me, as a travel photographer, it's ideal.
Rick, tell everybody about... what's it called? Reheld.
Yeah, Reheld. This is an amazing, I think I just sent you a picture. This is an amazing app for long exposures. You know, when I started out photographing, we lived in Croton 35 years. And the New Croton Dam is only 5 minutes from my house. And the spillway, that's a picture I sent you, and I think you could show it. When we first came here, I'd have a tripod, I'd have an expensive digital camera, I'd have expensive lens, neutral density filter, a cable release, all this stuff. What Reheld does, it's an app for the iPhone. I took a 15-second handheld exposure to blur the water. And I just got the app today, downloaded it. I think the price now is like $7.99, something like that for life. I mean, because it was just introduced. I was blown away because the water is so smooth. It is so silky. And the twigs and the branches on the side of the spillway are so sharp.
But let's tell you about Reheld. Reheld is a new app that is just introduced today where they say that you could shoot handheld without a tripod. Our new revolutionary iPhone camera app that lets you capture stunning long exposure photos without the need for a tripod. Whether you're a pro photographer or an amateur enthusiast, Reheld is the perfect tool for taking stunning long exposure shots on the go. So the app just came out today. It's $3 yearly or $8 to own it. And I would pretty much say that every person who's watching this this or listening to us right now would want to get this. Because
absolutely.
Why not? Right? Why not? I'm really excited. I'm going to try it out down at the beach later tonight and see what I could do with it. And what happens to tripods, Rick?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen to I think if you need a longer exposure, right? I mean, it is only, I don't want to say only 30 seconds. You know, most of my water pictures are taken at like at a quarter of a second or a fifth of a second. Like 1 second is sometimes a long time. So I was really pushing it at 15 seconds. But I think for, you know, 95% of my water pictures, flowing water pictures, this is going to be perfect.
Yeah, I can't wait to play with it some more. Okay, Bonnie wanted to know, are we talking about the Reheld app? Yes, this is Reheld, which comes from the folks at Reflex, which is a company in, I think it's Switzerland?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so pretty cool. Let's talk about traveling with just an iPhone. Rick, you have been an you have been associated with a large legacy camera company for many years, and you've been all over the place photographing on the big cameras. And I don't know, was this your first trip where you left the big cameras at home?
This was the first trip. And, you know, I did a lot of research on the trip, and I knew that I didn't need a 70 to 200. I knew I didn't need a 200 to 600. You know, I love my Sony A1. I love the Sony 200 to 600 for my bird photography, for my sports action photography. You know, I have a new class on Kelby One. You're on Kelby One, and I really enjoy your classes there. And I have a class on action photography, and I use the A1 and the 24 to 105 and the 200 to 600 exclusively. But I did research on Morocco. It's going to be street shooting and sand dune shooting. I knew that the iPhone with the lenses from, you know, 13 millimeters to 77 millimeters, that would be fine. And I'm 100% happy. I didn't miss my big camera, Jefferson, one bit, not one bit.
Well, okay, you didn't miss it, but there must have been shots that you couldn't get in Morocco. What couldn't you have shot that you could have?
Okay, there was one. We're in the tannery. The tannery is like all these vats. They have dozens of vats, and the vats are maybe 3 or 4 feet wide, and they have these dyes in them. And I think in the promo picture you have, that was a picture of the Fez tannery with the little curtain looking through the window. You see all the vats behind it. So I got a lot of pictures there. I wanted to get a closer picture of one of the workers. So I had to use the 3X, you know, setting, and I had to, you know, pinch a little, which I know you shouldn't do. So I got a shot, and as you know, everything looks good on the small screen. So it looked good, and I put it on my computer, and it's kind of pixelated. So I tried using the Topaz denoise, Topaz sharpener, and all these other things. So it would look good small, but I can't make a big print. So that's the only time during the whole trip that I said, man, it would have been nice, but the pluses outweigh. I mean, I was so free. I didn't look like a professional photographer, so I was less intimidating to people, and I was less intimidated myself because I don't look like a pro, so I could go around. And actually, Scott Kelby, who's my dear friend, and you know him very well. You've been on the grid. You do the classes for Kelby One. He said, Rick, these are the best. I don't know his exact words, but he said something to the effect of this is your best work ever. And I think because I was so free and just concentrated on composition, I didn't have to think about aperture, didn't have to think about shutter speed, I didn't have to think about ISO. The only thing I had to think about was composition. And as you know, as Edward Weston said, composition is the strongest way of seeing. And this is true. And the other thing, as you know, the big screen, you're like in the scene. You're not like squinting through a viewfinder.
Yeah.
So but I was super happy.
Let me give you a few caveats. I'm agreeing with you in every way. Freeing. Okay, I'm the guy with the camera around my neck, two cameras around my neck all day long traveling, right? And it's a pain. You leave the hotel room first thing in the morning, come back at night, and you're exhausted. You're carrying around glass as well. You're you're worried about pickpockets, you're worried about thieves, et cetera, et cetera. You just run out the door with phones in your pocket. I carry a selfie stick. You probably don't. But
Susan does.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a really cool thing. I look like I'm just one of the gang. I've been kicked out of every place that you could imagine for shooting with a big black camera. Big black camera makes people uncomfortable, sets them back, starts, you know, second guessing what you're doing. And when you're just running around with the iPhone, you're one of the crowd, and it's just the greatest. Plus, you get great shots. But when the sun is shining big time into your glass LCD, sometimes it's hard to see. And then sometimes the touchscreen is not responsive, particularly if you've gotten it wet. So those are two problems that I have had. Did you experience any of those issues, Rick?
I did not. And we're in the sand dunes. We're in the Sahara. You know, a lot of people, by the way, call it the Sahara Desert. Sahara means desert. So we're in the Sahara, you know, at sunrise and at sunset. And it's pretty bright. Actually, when you show the pictures, you'll see that in most of the pictures, there's not a cloud in the sky. So I have my brightness turned up all the way. Susan has hers turned down because she likes to save battery power. But I had a little power source, a little battery. I think it gives you 30, I forget who makes it, like 32 hours of power. But I didn't see that. You know, on the Kelby One iPhone conference, Terry White, he was talking about accessories. They sell a little hood, which I haven't seen, a little hood. Mm. So, you know, that might be an idea, but I haven't had any problems with the glass not working. You know, if I could comment on Greg's comment here, he says, Reheld is JPEG only. Well, here's the thing. you look at a picture, is someone going to say, is it a RAW file? Is it a JPEG? You know, if you, here's the thing. A JPEG file has the same amount of pixels as a RAW file. So if you have a good exposure, if you set your exposure right as a JPEG, what more do you need?
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, with the iPhone, with the high efficiency files, you know, those are basically JPEG files. 90% of my Morocco pictures that you'll show, I think there's one in there that might be a RAW file.
Okay. I need to mention that we'll be taking questions in real time in the second half hour after we look at some pictures, which I think this is a perfect segue. So get your questions ready. We want to hear from you. We want to answer them. We'll also announce the contest winner from the last show at the end of the show. So stay tuned all the way. We had really great outpouring to our Flickr group. And for next week, I'll have that in the description, how to get to Flickr and how to post your photos. Before we go on, I want to throw out a question that I thought was a really, really good question. And I want to get everybody to chime in here and get your questions ready. But this was great. This is from Dwight. And he wants to know, where will we be in mobile photography in 3 to 5 years? I mean, look at where we've come. You know, we've both been playing around with the iPhone for years, but it's taken a while for us to say, okay, we're ready to just go leave the big cameras at home. Look at what we did. You saw Rick's photos. You've seen some of mine that I did in Paris, and I'll show you some of them in Japan. Where will we be in 3 years? What happens to Sony, Canon, and Nikon, and Fuji, and Olympus? What are your thoughts, Rick?
Well, I was going to let you go first, but you know, if a pro like me who's written 43 books and recorded 45 Kelby One classes, you know, with a digital, actually starting with film and then digital SLRs and mirrorless cameras, I mean, I'm using the iPhone for 90% of my pictures. You know, if I'm going to go photograph birds, if I'm going to do sports, I'm going to use the Sony A1 and the 200 to 600 and maybe the 7200. But it can do, you know, who expected? Before Greg told me about this, this new app where I could handhold a shot for 15 seconds or up to 30 seconds. What's going to happen? You know, we have satellites right now that are, 8 miles high that can photograph a license plate, right? And get a decent shot. So I think all this all this technology is going to filter down. But I know more and more people who are leaving right now. Actually, we're going to Africa. I'm doing a safari to a photo tour to Africa later this year. And I did a post that my last trip to the same location was my iPhone turning point. I had my 15 to 35 millimeter lens and my 24 to 105 millimeter lens right next to me, and I never used them. I just used the iPhone. This was a turning point. So when I go later this year, I'm not taking those lenses. I'm just taking my iPhone. So this is like, you and I were talking about this. Things have never happened so fast. Now things are happening with AI and all the stuff that's happening so fast.
Okay, I agree with you on travel photography. There's no reason to bring the big cameras unless somebody's paying you for a big-time portrait shoot. I own a Sony A. I use Sony cameras. You use Sony cameras. Mm-hmm. I have the A7 IV. My 7200 millimeter lens, I mean, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Yeah. And I could get portraits that I just can't get on the iPhone. So that's today. That's today. 2023. 2025, iPhone 16. Okay. we have a sneaking suspicion that in the next iPhone, we're going to get the 10X zoom just like they have on the Galaxy. But what about the next one and the next one? What happens to mirrorless cameras? And he wants me to weigh in on that. You're still going to need them for sports, and you're still going to need them
for
wildlife. Those two, you have to get them. And for those crazy shots of the moon that Samsung got away with that were fake, you're still going to need a camera for that. There is in San Francisco this Saturday, there is a day when they know that the sun will be right behind the Bay Bridge. And if you stand on the street, you'll get this amazing shot. And it happens once a year. You could not get that on the iPhone. You couldn't get it on the iPhone. In Manhattan Beach, we take a picture of the Manhattan Beach pier with the sun setting right in between the pier. That's in November and January. So there's certain things you still need the camera for. I'm just wondering if you'll need them in 2 years, though.
I don't. I think you're going to need them for certain things. But, you know, I look at some of the portrait photographers, right? I look at Karsh of Ottawa, who was like the Ansel Adams of portraiture. I don't know if your viewers and listeners know about Karsh of Ottawa, but he took maybe the most famous picture of Ernest Hemingway. It's like a three-quarter shot, and it's a silver print. It looks like the print is glowing. I interviewed him actually in the late 70s. You could take that picture with an iPhone. I think what's going to happen is computational photography. This is going to get better and better. So maybe you don't need more than a 10X lens, but Topaz has Resize? Gigapixel? I forget what it's
gigapixel.
Called.
Yeah, Gigapixel. Yeah.
But you could upsize like so much. So maybe 10X is enough. And, you know, who needs to make, you know, I have behind me, I don't know if you're, you know, I have behind me, like, I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know how long the print is, but it's a giant print. How many people can make a print that big, right?
No, nobody. No, but most people don't make prints anyway. So
like behind just you, that beautiful print, no one's going to make a print that big.
Right. At some point, Canon, Nikon, and Sony have to get better about Wi-Fi like they are in here. And they have to make it easy to share photos, which you would think after all these time they have figured out, but they haven't.
No. And the sharing thing, Scott Kelby tells a story. We were doing a workshop in China. This was 3 or 4 years ago. We're all like, I was going to say fumbling. We're all setting up our cameras on our tripods in the dark and, you know, waiting to get these shots. And Susan Salmon's, you know, taking a shot and she's posting on Instagram. And we haven't even like put our cameras on our ball heads. Yeah, JS, will there be a travel photography book from Rick? I'm working on a couple of things. I'm really enjoying the Kelby One classes. By the way, if I could throw in a plug for Jay, he's doing correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, I think you're doing a workshop with Eric Kuna, a night workshop, light painting shot somewhere.
South Dakota.
I mean, yeah,
I know somebody who's going. I know someone who's going to drive from LA to South Dakota to go visit. That's me.
Oh, really? You're going to go?
Yeah.
You're going to go to World Drug?
Sure. I'm going to do it all.
Good. Wait,
I'm going to drive home on Route 66. What do you think about that?
Well, I love Route 66, so I think that's going to be very, very, very
Rick
cool.
Wrote the book on photographing Route 66, everybody. Jim Croce's Kodachrome, I think you've got the wrong singer-songwriter. It's Paul Simon. Okay?
See? This is why I hang out with Jefferson.
Yeah. Okay, so... I want to answer some people's questions, and most of them right now are comments. So if you have any specific questions, let us know. Rick is not going to do a travel book, photography book tomorrow. He's working on Kelby One classes. I have the advanced iPhone photography class on Kelby One right now, and Rick just did Action, right? Tell everybody about that one.
Yeah, I went down there to the studios and to Kelby One in Oldsmar, Florida. Did you know that Oldsmar is named after the guy who invented the Oldsmobile?
You told me that, but I sure didn't see any sign of that when I was there.
Yeah, there's an R.E. Olds Park. So anyway, it was after him. But anyway, yeah, it's an action photography class where we had like horses jumping over like jumps. We had skateboarders. We had BMX people. We had dogs running. We had birds flying. So for those situations, I needed, you know, the mirrorless camera and the long lenses.
Okay. A question from Bonnie. How do you reduce noise on an image? Rick?
Yeah. Well, actually, there was a comment before from Greg. He talked about noise and pictures looking like a little dirty, which is true. So what I do, and I think what Scott Kelby does, I think he wrote a blog post on it, that his number one and my number one and everybody I know, number one, the way we reduce noise is with Topaz denoise. It's amazing. Topaz and Topaz sharpener, both of these. Well, I think they combined them into one, Topaz Suite. I forget what it's called. But again, this is computational stuff. Who would have thought? Who would have thought like 2 years ago that Topaz would come out with this, the best noise, what I feel, what most of my friends feel, is the best noise reduction plugin out there.
Yeah. I used to spend hours in Photoshop doing things that I can now do in 2 seconds, replacing a sky, you know?
With your finger.
Yeah, and then the select and then just take you out of the photo and stick you in something else. I think everybody does it every day. It used to take me forever to do that. Right.
Light leaps. Susan Salmon uses light leaps. We were down at the Brooklyn Bridge Park 2 days ago, and the sky wasn't that good. She replaced the sky with light leaps. You know.
Okay. Light leaps is a subscription app that's available for the phone. Do you have any idea how much it costs?
No, I don't. But whatever it is, it's worth it. You know.
Okay, a question from Roy, which came in before we started. 5 top tips for shooting outdoor photos, and he wanted to make sure that I didn't say charge your phone before you go out. Have extra battery. Be sure to clear your storage so that you're on a shoot. He wants real photography tips. I've got a few, but let's have the master answer first.
No, I'll let you go first because my answer would be it depends. You know, outdoors in Siberia or outdoors in the Mesquite sand dunes or outdoors in New York City or, you know, outdoors in, where Jay's going. So I would say it depends, but I'll let you go first and then give me some time to think.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I always say is timing is everything. It's the most important feature of photography, right? And the reason that when you look at a travel brochure, everything looks so great is because they shot at magic hour or in the morning, right? And early morning. And when my clients call me and they say they want to do a portrait shoot, they say, what time should we do it? I say, how early can you get there? Is 6 o'clock an option? Because if it is, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. You know, that's when the light is the best. That's when it's warmest. That's when the colors are the best, that or magic hour. And if you're doing portraits, outdoor photography, you want to be in the shade. That's where people will look their best. People in direct sunlight look terrible. We have giant raccoon eyes. We have big shadows on our noses. We look awful. And I should just ask Rick, if you're stuck in a situation, you're in South Dakota in Badlands National Park and you're shooting at 2 p.m. and you have to take my picture, what you gonna do?
Oh, I don't. I wish I had it handy. I just got an infrared filter and a filter holder. And I would shoot infrared at 2 p.m. You know, it clips onto your iPhone, and you have to do a little bit of processing. But have you tried this? Have you seen these?
I have not tried it.
I mean, my friend Dennis Baker, I was on his Facebook page. He had these amazing pictures where, you know, with infrared, with black and white infrared, the leaves look white. So I went to B&H and I got the infrared filter. I think it was a 720 nm or something like that, and a little clip on holder. And now I could shoot infrared. So that's what I would do in the afternoon. I would shoot infrared, because with infrared it doesn't matter if it's there's no such thing as bad light, because it records light we don't see.
All right. A question from our friend Greg McMillan in Canada. If the next iPhone has a 10x optical zoom, which we expect, would that be enough to leave the mirrorless at home on a safari? I've never gone on a safari, but I know somebody who has. Rick?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it depends. In Tanzania, in some of the places, the animals come so close that a 10x is enough. I could send you a link that we could put on afterwards, but this was one of my turning points this last year. With the 24-105, I got a lot of good pictures because the animals came close. I couldn't get birds flying with that. I had to switch to, you know, the longer lenses. But if you, a lot of people, like, they go on safari, they want to take the really close shot. You can get that shot in the zoo. What do you want to get on safari? I think you want to get a shot that looks what I call an environmental picture, the animal, you know, in the environment. You know, we have pictures of lions in trees. You know, you take a tight shot, could have been taken, you know, at the Bronx Zoo, which is a great place to shoot, by the way. But if you take the wide angle shot and this vehicle can get really close, you know, that's enough. So I feel confident that when the 10x comes out, that's going to be fine for me, because it's going to outweigh the problems, the hassles, the weight of taking the big gear.
Okay. So I went to the Living Desert in Palm Desert. That's near Palm Springs. That's a wonderful little zoo with giraffes and rhinos and kangaroos and stuff like that. Trust me, a 3X for a kangaroo is more than enough. I'm sorry, a giraffe. For a giraffe was more than enough. 10X, you actually don't want to get that close. But I've never gotten close to a lion. So I think Greg has a follow-up to that. He says environmental shot equals excellent point. I was in New Mexico, Bosque del Apache, not last year, but the year before. Rick was there at the same time. Everybody was setting up their giant cameras on the tripod, and I was doing this, and I was doing a wide shot of all the birds doing the blast-off. Tell everybody about what the blast-off is like every morning.
Yeah, well, in November, December, in Bosque del Apache, which is about an hour and 20 minutes from Albuquerque, every November, December, sandhill, thousands and thousands and thousands of sandhill cranes and snowkeys, you know, come here. They stop there. They're migrating. So there are these pools where the farmers have planted crops, so the birds could come and relax and have something to eat before they go on. So anyway, I've been going there for like 15 years. Every morning in November, December, every morning at about 7 o'clock, 10 to 7, 5 after 7, all the birds take off at one time. So you have thousands of birds in the sky silhouetted against a brilliant, usually brilliant New Mexico sky. So for that type of shot, the wide angle is the way to go. And I see people, like you said, with 400, 600 millimeter lenses, you know?
Yeah, my wide shot is great. And I did time lapses every morning, and I did video shots. And my video of all the birds blasting off, that's all I needed. And yeah, I did bring my tripod, and I'm glad I did. And, you know, maybe this new app is going to be wonderful and you don't need the tripod. But for video, you're going to want to have tripod. So I'll still travel with my tripod. Check my newsletter from my gear list. I talk about my favorite little travel tripod that fits in a suitcase. So it's not too bad. It's not too heavy. Questions. Bonnie, I have Topaz. Can you get it on the phone?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
either. That I don't know. But, you know, Paul and Susan Moore said they looked at my Morocco pictures. Fantastic. And I want to thank Arthur for checking out my phototherapy book, which actually is my best-selling photography book. And
no pictures.
no pictures. But I want to say this, if I may. You're looking at me in my office. And Susan has an office about the same size right next to us. This is next to our house. And we've had this 30 years. For the last 10 or 15 years, I've been on a lot of podcasts. And I want to thank you again for having me. And Susan has heard me for the last whatever, more than a decade, basically talking about the same thing, right? Lenses, you know, ISO, shutter speed. This is new. I don't think, and she sees it, and I hope you can see it. Well, I'm sure you see it, and I hope it comes to the audience. I haven't been this excited about photography in a long time, you know, because it's so new. Every day there's a new app. I want to thank Greg again for turning me on to that app. And speaking of apps, you know, I do replace, we talked about replacing the sky, doing this, doing that. Someone on Facebook said, you know, one of your pictures, you know, it was on Twitter, they weren't criticizing it. They just said, that's not reality. You know, because I did some fanciful feature. I forget what it was, some fanciful effect. And I said, well, think about what John Lennon said. John Lennon said, reality leaves a lot to the imagination, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I see your guitars behind you. You have acoustic guitars, right?
I do.
And they sound great. But you have electric guitars that you plug into amps, and an amp is like an app, right? You could control the treble, the bass, the this and that. I don't know if you have pedals. You can make all these different sounds. I just think it's so much fun and so amazing that we live in this time where we can get so excited about a device that we hold in our hands and can communicate.
Yeah,
you know, how much fun we're having.
Arthur has left a note that said, thanks for reminding us that it's okay to get lost in photography. When I was in Paris, I interviewed a local who said he stays away from the main district. What's your best photo tip? Get lost, get lost, get lost. Just go explore with your eyes, and that's when you'll have the best time. So thank you, Nikolai.
Yeah, and I think also not to take yourself too seriously, you know?
Yeah,
I have a sign over my desk. It says, I'll tone it down. It says, don't believe your own PR. So I'm toning it down. But, you know, you look at guys like Scott Kelby, who has millions of followers and sold, you know, all these things. He doesn't believe his own BS. His own PR. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to just, you know, people sometimes, I know a lot of photographers who believe their own PR. And, you know, they think they're famous and things like that because they've written books. You know, I don't go for that. It really turns me off very quickly.
Scott Rittenberg, solid advice at any shoot, backup battery, available storage. I forgot those two simple things, and it led to my girlfriend getting really pissed off because after all the setup, I only got a handful of pics. So it sounds silly, and it sounds dumb, and it sounds like you should all know it, but who owns a Canon, Nikon, Olympus, Sony, whatever, that would go to a shoot with a dead battery and a memory card that was full? It wouldn't happen, right? It wouldn't happen. No. Okay.
No.
So it's good to remember, and we could always get external juice. They're really easy to get, $20 to $30.
I have mine over there. I could show it if you could give me a second.
Well, let's throw some of the comments because we have a lot. Bonnie said, after the iPhone seminar, I went to the Texas Hill Country for 3 days with only my iPhone. I took the iPad, but I didn't use. I wouldn't ever use the iPad for photography because the better cameras in the phone, right, Rick?
Yeah, I was in Antarctica actually last year, and a couple of people at the back of the boat, they're taking pictures, you know, with their iPad bigger than this, you know, and it's funny.
Greg says iPhoneography opens up a wide window of opportunity to create art. That is for sure. We're taking more pictures than we've ever took. At any time in civilization. The only problem is we don't know what to do with them all, and we don't know how to edit them, and we don't know how to store them. Right, Rick?
Susan and I talk about this all the time. I think we need a goal. You know, I know Bonnie, who's watching, takes a lot of pictures. Make note cards. Set a goal that you're going to have, like, by the end of the year, you know, a set of note cards. Or you want to do a calendar. I think, you know, I'm a very goal-oriented person. My son's a very goal-oriented person. I think having a goal is really important in life and in our photography. So having that goal, what are you going to do with your pictures? You just don't want to take 1,000 pictures. You know, make a calendar, send it to friends. Make note cards, send it to friends.
And back them up.
Or write a book.
Yeah, write a book. What's Jay have to say? The smartphone photography time is so fascinating and exciting. Thank you. I look forward to shooting the night skies with you, Jay, in South Dakota. Arthur says, tell stories with them by using Adobe Express or Canva or Shutterfly or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it Adobe Spark? What's it called?
Spark is now called Adobe Express.
Okay.
They changed the
Scott
name.
Kelby actually was an amazing photographer, by the way. I know he teaches
who
Photoshop.
Doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He's thought of as a computer guy who knows Photoshop. He's an amazing photographer. No. He puts us all to shame. when you go to Oldsmar to Kelby One headquarters, he's got these giant prints hanging everywhere that just make you go home and say, why don't I have giant prints on the wall? You know?
Yeah. Well, that's actually getting back to what we were talking about. And yes, Scott is amazing. Making prints.
I think as we go out, I should have Rick tell you where to find more about him.
Just ricksalmon.com. And I have a Facebook group called Explorers of Light. Search on that. I know Bonnie's a member, a couple of people members here. And I just want to hear Jefferson. Thanks, Greg, for the comment.
All right.
Let's give
thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Jefferson Graham. That's just Rick Salmon. Look for me at jeffersongraham.net. Subscribe. Do all those wonderful things. Yes, Jay, I will be bringing my guitar. And we'll play every night, and I'll be better in tune. Big hand for Rick Salmon for being with us today. It's a big honor. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, everybody,
Thanks,
for tuning in.
Stay safe.
Bye-bye.